reward. So, and I think that's probably, I hope that's a cheering observation and not anything else. If you go to the first slide, please. So when I think about the location of digital humanities in the sort of setting I work in now and the many institutions I saw in my previous job running a consortium, certainly one of the things that we need to do well, and it's not difficult if you focus on it, is to understand the institutional frame. And eventually, these decisions end up with a dean and a provost, and we've been talking about that today, and they have ambitions. They have pressure points, they have needs. So you know, simply knowing what's in the environment that you can articulate your need in, and this is not any great insight, can be enormously helpful. We have a digital humanities chair, Mary Flanagan, who some of you know, because there was an alumnus who gave $10 million to do something innovative in the arts and sciences that affected student life at Dartmouth. And so being able to respond to that with a digital humanities chair, as one of them, there were two new chairs, this was one of them, crudely put, solved the problem, right? And did something good for the institution. You certainly need to know how your humanities departments, if you're not in them, look at this. Are they supportive up to the point where they have to give up a line? If that's the reality you're working within, then you have to find another way around. And if you have a humanities centre, as we do at Dartmouth, that's thriving, and has been there a fair while, then you also need to be able to articulate how does what you're putting together work with this. Is it a component of it? That might be a very good solution. Is it a competitor? That's going to be a harder sell, possibly. Is it a successor? Next, please. I'll go for it. The other thing that I saw when I looked at this is the centre's ambitions that we've heard all day really echo with me some of the things we're seeing with integrated faculty teams, support teams, to use the support word, that have come out of curricular computing largely, but are really catching on. We've got a big push at Dartmouth to be able to plug together all the people who aren't faculty, who touch faculty. Everybody from the person who sets up their desktop and laptop machine when they get there to the subject bibliographer, who's often their new best friend when they arrive and they're trying to work out what's in the collection. You can plug those people together into a coalition, a centre maybe, then, or a city, in our case, three centres, one of which is for the humanities. Then you've got a whole series of friends that you didn't have before you plugged them together, including the computing folks. As an aside, almost looking at this document that was circulating, there was very little talk about the impact of these things on the life of the students. In fact, the students were largely absent. And I would suggest that's probably, we talked a bit about them today, but that's probably, again, one area where you really want to be able to articulate the value of this to student life. Certainly, John and I, in the 90s at UVA, saw our grad students go on to all sorts of interesting things inside and outside the academy, and we weren't slow to promote that side of the centre. That's not the only way you touch student life. Next, please. Blindingly obvious, but libraries are your friends, yes, right? We tend to often be well-placed with resources and other things that you can use as models. We tend to have the sort of mixed professional and paraprofessional staff. We've been doing it a long time. We usually have career ladders. We have professional development and mentoring programs. So you may not want to use them all, but we're humanities friendly. So in lots and lots of ways, I suspect libraries can continue to be everything from we'll give you our basement to other sorts of things. And at the moment, in particular, digital scholarship, digital production out of our collections is a high priority. When we get asked, what are your strategic goals, especially if there's innovation monies available, that this is an area we move to very readily. Next, please. So, a couple of thoughts on hiring and promotion, and then I'll finish. Certainly, when we're hiring in libraries, we've got very comfortable with looking broadly. We favour the library degree, but we're not obsessive about it mostly. We have what my friend Jim Neal at Columbia called feral librarians. And we've got, raised by wolves, not library schools. There's a whole article on this. I'm a feral librarian. I don't have a library degree. Yeah, we have business people, we have lawyers, we have a lot of folks throughout the system who didn't come through the traditional route, didn't come through John's sort of operation, or sometimes do it much later in their career. And we've incorporated them in without a second-class citizenship situation. We tend to look very closely at tying in with the ambitions of the institution and articulating what we do in those terms. I suspect with the centres you're talking about, that's probably an easier path than tying in with the ambitions of a single department, which may not have any ambitions in the areas you want to work in. Certainly as we try and persuade our institutions to do new things, one of the levers that we pull on is our peer groups. So every university has its groups of institutions it compares itself to, for accreditation, all sorts of other reasons. And if they're doing something and you're not, that's a lever. And certainly the student people we mentioned next, please. So, we talked a little bit this morning about the institution having perhaps relevant pay scales and promotion paths elsewhere in it that you might well be able to make very good use of. And they're hard to argue against because we're already doing them. And I'd already mentioned this notion of, I mean, our programmers are on a completely different scale. It's fine. There's no problem with this within the library structure. It's understood that this is how it should be. We certainly try and be honest about where funding comes from when we hire somebody, especially if we expect them to go out and find it. Next, please. And then on the promotion paths, we're getting, I think, better at really taking evaluation and assessment, outcomes-based assessment, seriously. Because it works for us to be able to say this is the impact we're having, whether it's an individual, especially an individual in some of your settings who's brought in, and the evaluation criteria that they were brought in on sometimes get a bit soft around the edges. You really need to keep those criteria in front of anybody in your chain.
Your iPhone has lost its GPS signal.
Oh my God, what are we going to do?
We're really lost now.
I mean, every way that you can, I'm not going to compete with that. The promotion word is also promotion. I mean, it struck me today coming in, there was no sign in the lobby saying, you know, national think tank operation this way in Myth. Right? We didn't necessarily need it to find Myth, but it reminds everybody that's in the building that there's big thinking going on downstairs, and Myth's at the centre of it.
We have a neon installation on its way.
You do. Brilliant. That's what you need. Next, please, which is the last one. The other thing that's worked well for us in the library setting, I offer this simply as a potential in your settings too, is to get that new person out there. On the one hand, you don't want to burden them with every committee they can be on. On the other hand, if you can be judicious and strategic about it, especially if it's a newish role within the institution, getting them out and about does an enormous amount of good. And as we've been talking about fundraising, and this is perhaps a no-brainer, but if you're not required to do fundraising, I would suggest you do it anyway. Unless it's simply politically dangerous, whether it's private or federal or alumni or whatever, because certainly in the areas of the institution where the institution's spending its money in the science, technology, medicine area, there's not much air gap between good research and funded research. If it's good research, it's funded, almost by definition. And sometimes we see in the library setting that the library can be the agent that gets a given humanities department into the fund, into the grants game, either because we can tap IMLS monies or we've done it and they haven't. So you know, we use that as a lever sometimes to get other things done. And then finally, the word has come up at least once, whether it's the hire being mentored or the hire doing the mentoring. it's another way of getting a new hire plugged in and promotion ready. And we have a real, we all feel this, we have a real opportunity to mentor and be mentored as we try to work out.